Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat there, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then continuing at verse 18, Jesus goes on to say, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come together to worship you this morning. As we do so, we come, if we're honest, with an awareness of how we sometimes hold you at arm's length. Father, don't let us do that this morning. Let us draw close to you as you draw close to us. Speak to us through your word in such a way that we will see the fruit of your work in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last Monday, I heard some noise coming out of the kitchen in the parish hall. Going to investigate, I found Barry and Jean Smithies putting green beans in plastic bags to be taken down to the soup kitchen in Norristown. As we chatted about how well the Garden of Eden is doing this year, Barry mentioned a problem of overgrowth. Not weeds overgrowing the beds, but the vegetables growing too much. I was baffled as to why that would be a problem. Then Barry held up a zucchini the size of a septibus. Of course, the only proper conclusion was to bulldoze the garden and never plant anything ever again. Well, obviously, that is not really the best conclusion, is it? Any more than if weeds were the problem, or rocky soil, or if seed keeps getting spilled on the walkways between the beds only to be eaten by birds. There may be all kinds of things to do to work towards enhancing an ideal vegetable production, but ceasing to plant seeds is not one of them. That will only guarantee zero harvest. Then what would we do with all those plastic bags in the kitchen? Today's gospel lesson includes one of the more recognizable parables of Jesus, commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. As we so often find, Jesus is using imagery that would have been very familiar to those listening that day. It was a classic setting, with Jesus seizing the opportunity to teach crowds of people who had gathered around him. In this particular instance, he ingeniously used a boat as his platform so more people could both see and hear him. That was back before they had Jumbotron, so you had to think of something else. Some even speculate that as he spoke, he was able to point to the hillside where the people could actually see a farmer at work sowing seed. After Jesus had finished speaking, we're told the disciples asked him why he kept speaking in parables. Following his response to their question, Jesus also provides an explanation of this particular parable. Some people like to rename this the parable of the soils, focusing on the various responses and obstacles involved. But note that Jesus himself calls it the parable of the sower, so maybe we should stick with that. As we reflect on this lesson, we find encouragement to keep at the work of sowing the seed of God's word. Jesus' starting place is to say, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." As we look at this parable, I want to consider the people, the assumption, and the motivation. And then we'll hear the invitation. First, note the people referred to by each of the four soil conditions. In this instance, Jesus does not spend time talking about soil preparation. Rather, simply acknowledges the conditions commonly encountered. Hard soil people are those with whom the word never penetrates their lives. Prior to any level of understanding, the evil one snatches it away like a bird snatching the seed off the side of a road. Rocky soil people are those who take it in, but only so far. There may be some initial signs of growth, but the lack of deep roots allows it to be dried up by the heat of trials and opposition. Thorny soil people are those who take in the word and show growth, but allow it to be overwhelmed by other things. The distractions and allurements of worldly comforts and pursuits are allowed to choke out the impact of God's word in their lives. The good soil people are those who take in the word and let it do the transforming work intended. Through time, the effects are seen more and more. Well, as we consider those soils, it may be easy for us to think of specific examples. We can probably name names in each category, can't we? Don't worry, I'm not going to do so. It's a sad reality. Not everyone is going to embrace God's word. It can be heartbreaking, but not everyone will respond positively to our efforts. Some will simply laugh at us and tell us to get lost. Some may listen, but then ignore it because it sounds hard. Some may seem to take it in, only to later come up with excuses why they changed their minds. But sometimes people will listen and receive the word and allow it to grow and come to fruition in their lives. Those are the ones that encourage us to keep sowing. One challenging aspect here, perhaps a more difficult question, is the personal one. It is to ask, how do I see myself in each of these categories of the different soils? Whether hard pan or rockiness or thorniness, our own resistance can cause us to miss out on the transforming impact of God's word in our own lives. That too is sad. Even with those different responses from people, note the assumption woven through this parable. The seed will be sown by people who are sowers. Yes, conscious of, but not deterred by the different responses. The work of sharing God's word continues to be done with diligence and regularity. Rather than giving up on the word, we need to keep the sowing active. From Jesus' perspective, whether or not we do it is not the question. We are God's chosen distribution system. And the need for that remains true for ourselves as well as others. Rather than giving up because we don't understand it, we need to seek help in gaining understanding. When we get scared or intimidated, we need to reach out for encouragement from one another. When we cave in yet again because of personal weakness, we need to repent and return again in the context of God's promised forgiveness and restoration. And when we see the fruit produced in our own lives, we have the privilege of sharing that as witnesses to what God has done. The one thing we don't do is quit sowing. And then note that Jesus also gives us the motivation to keep sowing the seed of God's word. It involves the potential harvest of an abundant crop, as described here in verse 23, when Jesus says, "And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Who's he talking about? He's talking about all kinds of people. That includes people initially coming to faith, hearing the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, and choosing to embrace him as Savior and follow him as Lord. But it also includes those who are growing in faith. We keep taking in God's word precisely so he will use it to shape and mold us, to grow us up into the full stature of Christ. This is captured in our parish vision statement describing our intentions and efforts as a parish to work together as followers of Jesus, carrying the word of God to our community, helping the lost come to faith in Jesus so all may see his transforming work in their lives. Folks, understand that is not a pronouncement of sanctimonious blowhards ridiculing the world. No. That is a description of sowing the seed of God's word in anticipation of the good work God will accomplish in the lives of those who receive it. If we don't plant any seed, weeds will grow. When we do plant seed, it may take some time, but there will be a harvest. Our witness to Jesus includes sharing with others how we have seen that happen in our own lives, acknowledging our own need, but a need being met and transformed by the power of God. Well, having beheld the sower as described by Jesus, I want to take us back to the first lesson to hear the invitation God gives through the prophet Isaiah. The one behind the invitation we heard last Sunday. Remember what we heard last Sunday when Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The one behind that invitation is the same one behind this invitation. As we consider sowing the seed of God's word, it answers the question, why bother? The invitation is to those who are thirsty and hungry to find refreshment and satisfaction in hearing and listening to God's word, to receive from God those things that money and notoriety cannot buy. The emphasis being on the abundance and enduring significance of what God gives to those who know him. What he offers standing in sharp contrast to the hollowness and transitory nature of worldly things. Through Isaiah, the Lord reminds us of the surpassing greatness of his thoughts and ways over our human thoughts and ways. His word is unique. It is gracious. It is trustworthy. It is eternal. It is a saving word. With that reminder comes the description of how he pours out his word on us. Just like rain and snow accomplish their purposes, so his word accomplishes his purposes. It is a word which leads to joy and peace among all those who acknowledge and receive it. It is a word which takes root in us and transforms our lives. When we sow the seed of God's word, we do so with the understanding that God can and will use it to accomplish his transforming work in people's lives. Not all the seed will be eaten by birds or become mutant zucchinis. Some will take root and grow to produce a wonderful harvest, which will stand in contrast to the world's hollow substitutes. Last Sunday, after the services were over, I went back into my office. I found a book left in my office with a note saying, "This is for you to keep." Always makes me nervous. But it turns out this is a good one, and as I looked at it, I realized Jerry Mosser had left it there for me. Written by Dean Koontz, the book is about their dog Trixie, which happened to be a golden retriever. I finished reading it Wednesday night, and it had me thinking about our golden retriever, Sam. Some of you remember Sam. He was a great dog, and with very few exceptions, never really got into trouble. Parmesan cheese and sticks of butter were recurring issues. Another issue involved used Kleenex he would fish out of the wastebasket. Once he had gotten hold of one, it wasn't easy to get him to give it up. It wasn't something good for him to eat, but for some reason he was drawn to them. If we just tried to catch Sam and take away the Kleenex, it would usually turn into what he considered a game. You know, one trick that we discovered, though, to get him to give up the Kleenex was to offer him a better alternative, like one of his doggy treats called Healthy Extras. That was really the name of it. Left to our own devices as people, we fish dirty Kleenex out of wastebaskets and think that is a high point to life. In his mercy and grace, God chooses to continue showing himself to us, revealing his ways and the blessings that come with them. When we listen, we come to see God's word as the better alternative for ourselves. The more we take it in, the more we are sustained and refreshed. The more we take it in, the more our roots sink deeply into the nourishment it provides. The more we take it in, the more our souls are replenished for faithfulness and fruitfulness as followers of Jesus. And then he allows us the privilege of sowing that same seed in the lives of others. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. You've done so through the ages, through the prophets and writers of old. We have your word written in the scriptures for our edification, our learning, our coming to know you. Father, you sent your Son, Jesus, the Word, to live and dwell among us, the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh, who comes to us and reveals even more fully your character, your love, your grace. Father, let us be open to the work that you want to do in our lives through your Word. Let it sink deeply into our hearts. Let it renew our minds. Let it shape our wills. And Father, as we see that take place in our own lives, give us the joyful ambition to share that with others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.